Thank you. Please take a seat. So, expectations. What are your expectations? I can thank Ricky Roo for this slide, because we're very expectant about the next week, aren't we? We could be expecting presents, pleasant surprises, just the birth of Jesus, celebrating the birth of Jesus. And thanks to Keith for this slide. What are we wanting? What are we waiting for? What are we expecting this Advent? Who are we waiting for? In this address, I've got the Bible's readings we've had today contain it all, really. I don't really need to go through it again because it's all there. So I'm going to cut out a lot of the readings I was going to repeat. So I wonder what your expectations are now as we approach Christmas. Are you a shopper, like a shopper in a hurry and want to get it over and done with? Are you easily irritated by the commercialism, glitter, and hearing the recording of last Christmas all over and over again? One thing which irritates me is choosing what seems to be the quickest checkout queue in a supermarket, only to find a hold-up of some sort, while the neighbouring queues progress quite quickly. Well, I had a pleasant surprise the other day, just last week. I went into Aldi. I only wanted one thing. But you know, Aldi and Lidl, they all tend to have very few checkouts open and big, long queues. But I found they had self-checkout in Aldi, in Bletchley. Wow. So I went straight to checkout, self-checkout, and out in no time. Fantastic. I was pleasantly surprised with that. So are you looking for a pleasant surprise? Away from the hustle and bustle of shopping, are you looking forward to time with family and or friends? Perhaps you're looking for the real reason for Christmas, as presented to schools here this week by Christmas Cracked, as we heard from Ruth earlier on. It's always been a joy to see the expressions on the children's faces as they hear the good news and the reason for Christmas, not to mention the effect on the staff that accompany them. Today we're at Advent 3, and as written in this morning's call to worship, do not treat prophecies with contempt. David reminded us last week that prophecies are very important, especially when they point to the arrival of God's own Son. In some ways, I find the link to prophecy in this week's lectionary notes a bit confusing, as the prophetic link to the today's New Testament reading is actually clearly in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, which was covered by David last week. A voice of one calling, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert a highway for our God." Note that here, a voice of one calling in the wilderness is the prophet Isaiah prophesying the arrival of another prophet, John the Baptist. I heard an analogy of it used being like going to the cinema, settling down for your chosen film, only to be confronted with all those trailers of what's coming in the future, and a sort of modern-day prophecy of what is to come. However, back to today's Old Testament reading, which Mark read to us from the prophet Isaiah, the Old Testament reading Lucas read to us, the Bible scholar Alec Modger classifies this group of chapters as the coming of the anointed conqueror, i.e. Jesus. Jesus saw his mission clearly revealed in today's reading in Isaiah chapter 1, where we can read in Luke 4 that one day Jesus was in a synagogue, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But note that Jesus deliberately left out the words from Isaiah to proclaim the vengeance of our God. That was in the Old Testament reading, Isaiah. Jesus left that out. Thus, he expressed his own understanding of God's mission, that it is not to condemn the world, but to save it. An explanation given is that God's judgment would be at the final stage, i.e. the second coming. Second coming of our Lord, to quote from John, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." According to Google, there are over 300 Old Testament prophecies linked to Jesus. In addition to Isaiah 40 and 61, probably the most famous is Isaiah 53. And surely, in the next week or so, we're going to be hearing references to Bethlehem from Micah chapter 5. So, in our New Testament reading, here is John the Baptist, not to be confused with John the Apostle, announcing or prophesying and directly quoting Isaiah 43, that it would be his voice, which was the voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." But he was eager to point out that he, John the Baptist, was just the messenger. It seems that many people were so fascinated by John the Baptist that they were following him rather than Jesus. And all through the fourth gospel, John is careful to point out that the place of John the Baptist in the scheme of things had a high profile, but he was subordinate to the place of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist went to great efforts to deny that he was the Messiah or even a prophet. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Some years ago, I went to Spurgeon's home group, which was led by John and Lynn Ball. Remember them? Anybody remember John and Lynn Ball? Unfortunately, John died a few years ago. And Lynn asked the question, "Which Bible character would you like to meet?" When it came to my turn, I said, "Priscilla." There was silence. You could hear the cogs going, you know, in the brain. "Priscilla?" "So why would you choose Priscilla?" Then I recounted the involvement of Priscilla from Acts chapter 18. A Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explain to him the way of God more accurately. And Acts chapter 19 goes on to say, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul found some disciples at Ephesus and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No. We have not even heard that there is the Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So there you have it. Jesus is the one sent by God for us to follow. Mistakes can still happen when people follow the messenger or preacher rather than the object of the message. John the Baptist did not just announce Jesus, he was a witness to the glory of Jesus. And throughout the Gospel of John, witness is a key word, and there are 8 mentions of witness. The Holy Spirit brings God's truth to men. And John wrote his Gospel to present witness that Jesus Christ is God, fully revealed to mankind, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Listen out for the good news in the Christmas story during the next few days. Now we're going to have our final hymn. It's in 2 parts. So the